All right, people, let's grab our hymnals and open up to 125. We'll stand for our final hymn this morning. 125. We seem to have quite a theme this morning on surrender. Yes. Have thine own way. And we'll sing all four.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yield it and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. When in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see. Christ only always living in me.
Oh, amen. Praise the Lord, people. Please be seated. And I love the words on that fourth stanza. It says, hold o'er my being absolute sway, saying, Lord, completely control me and fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. Is that your prayer this morning?
Amen.
Did you want folks in your life to see Jesus Christ in you? I'm so glad that they can. They can by simply yielding to His Holy Spirit. What a blessing those words are to us, church. Well, at this time, grab your Bible and open up to the book of 1 Kings this morning as we come to our time of preaching. Open up to 1 Kings chapter number 12. This is one of the incredible portions of Old Testament scripture, the events taking place in 1 Kings chapter 12. Now, before we lay a background for our message this morning, I must say that I'm somewhat perplexed because this week the rock star Prince passed away, and of course it was just blown up Facebook all over the internet, just, you know, talking about Prince. And no disrespect at all intended. I just want to let you know what happened. I saw all these posts. Oh, Prince. Prince is so great. Prince was the best ever. And all this. And I simply posted, but where is he now? That's all I wrote. I just said, but where is he now? You know,
we know that the world's theology, he was very successful according to the world. And I just put, but where is he now?
Don't you know? I was severely attacked online for stating, how dare you? How dare you question that he's not in heaven? We know what you're trying, blah, blah, blah. And, well, you know what it is? When you step on their gods, they get angry. And I was not, my intent, God knows my heart. I was simply making a statement of, it's not important what he accomplished in his lifetime. It's important where he is now for all of eternity.
And of course, the world, they couldn't see that. And see, we're called haters. Oh, yeah. We're the bad guys because we're concerned. And I wrote, after a listing of about 30 things, where if they could have came through the end, they would have strangled me. They would have killed me. I'm telling you. And then finally, after about 30 nasty posts toward me, I wrote, I guess I'm the only person on Facebook concerned for a soul. Done. And I just left it at that. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. But folks, you know what the problem is? Man-made religion.
Right.
Man-made religion is the problem. And I want to speak to you this morning on man-made religion. Here in 1 Kings chapter 12, we have an incredible passage of scripture. The year is 975 BC. Solomon has died. And now Rehoboam, his son, has taken the throne as king over Israel. For 120 years, the nation of Israel was what we call an undivided monarchy. A king reigned over all 12 tribes, right? You had Saul, 40 years. You had David, 40 years. You had David's son Solomon, 40 years. But the Lord said to Solomon, I will divide your kingdom. But not in your days for David, my servant's sake, but in the days of your son. And of course, his son Rehoboam took the throne. And don't you know that God split that kingdom? And because of the sins of Solomon. And God told him that he would do it. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, comes along. He takes 10 tribes up to the north and he has the northern kingdom called Israel. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, has the southern kingdom called Judah, where Jerusalem was and the temple dwelt in the true worship of God. Now, Jeroboam up in the north is about to make up his own religion, like a lot of people in the world today. Look with me here in 1 Kings chapter 12. We'll begin reading in verse 26. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. In verse 25, then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim in the north, dwelt therein, and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David, if this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. Then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places, which he had made. So he offered upon the altar, which he had made in Bethel, the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart. And ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Beloved, I want to speak to you this morning on man-made religion. Father in heaven, how we thank you for this incredible passage of scripture. Lord, we thank you for the example of the man Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin. We thank you, Lord, that we learn from his errors how not to serve thee. We thank you, Lord, that we don't need to make up our own religion. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to devise of our own heart some kind of system whereby we can meet God. We thank you, Lord, that it's all plain and clear and simple in the Word of God, exactly what you expect. And Lord, we just love you this morning for that truth. And we just ask you to bless it to our hearts this morning that we may glean from this passage some things that we can take and share with others, oh God, that would make us stronger servants for thee in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Please be seated, church. Now, beloved, false religion
has always been in the world. It's no new thing under the sun, false religion. It's man-made. It's fabricated out of the evil heart of fallen man. It started with Cain in Genesis chapter 4. By the way, he was the first man to be born of a woman, Cain. First man. He had a man-made religion. And it didn't work. God didn't accept it. God rejected that false worship, but he accepted the true from his brother. Now, this false religion continued until the time of Noah. And you remember, it got so bad in the days of Noah that God had to flood the world with a deluge to destroy the wickedness thereof. False religion, it's alive and well in the days of Nimrod. We find him building a tower, trying to work his way to heaven. That's what man-made religion attempts to do. We see it in the land of Canaan. Even the 12 tribes of Israel fall into idolatry. They make idols in high places under every green tree, and they worship false gods, man-made religion. It is also spread and infected in every known society in world history, beloved. Ultimately, it became the downfall of the nation of Israel, the very people of God. Listen, man-made religion has Satan as its initiator. It has deception as its infrastructure, and it has spiritual death as its manipulator. Here in chapter 12 of 1 Kings, we find a man named Jeroboam, who is a builder and producer of man-made religion. Let's examine a few telling signs of what man-made religion is. First of all, man-made religion, it had its origin in the human heart, not God's. Look with me in verse 26. In verse 26, man-made religion has its origin in the human heart, which is sinful. And Jeroboam said, where? In his heart. Now, was Jeroboam a true believer? No. No. So here we have a lost man making up from his own wicked heart a religion. Watch. Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. Drop down with me to verse 33. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart. And he ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Now, folks, listen carefully. Here we find the man Jeroboam inventing, that is, fabricating and creating a false religion. The world is full of them. In every nation of the earth, we have false man-made religion. Spurgeon once said, there are only virtually two religions in the world. And the one has its origin in the I will of God. The other has its source in the I think of man. That's a true statement. And let me add this. The latter is a fabrication of the human will, while the former is a revelation divine of God's will. Beloved, it is a great assumption for a creature to presume to know better than his creator. Amen? If we want to know about our creator, we have to go to him. Not our sinful hearts. Oh, beloved, in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. See, God knows our hearts. God knows if we're sincere. God knows what's inside our heart of hearts. Not long ago, a Hindu visitor asked his American host, a professing Christian, what she thought of Jesus Christ. Oh, we don't talk about that at the dinner table, she replied. The next day, the Hindu asked a businessman the same question. He replied, let's go out on the balcony to talk about that. Later, the Hindu said, this is the first nation I've been in where the people are ashamed of their God. These professing Christians, the Hindu couldn't get them to tell them about Jesus. Hello? That's because most Americans have their own religion made up in their own heart. Folks, I want to make a statement. Satan loves religion. He loves religion. He's the inventor of religion. The devil loves when people go to church and string beads and Hail Mary and pray to saints and bow down to statues and kiss the Pope. The devil loves that because there's no salvation in that.
The devil is behind every false religion. But I see something else concerning man-made religion. Not only its origin in the human heart, but secondly, it was for his own selfish purposes. Look back in verse 26. And Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah." Now, listen carefully. Jeroboam here, in verse 27, created his own religion with only one goal in mind: to serve his own selfish purposes. He didn't want to lose his religion by letting the people go to the true worship of God in Jerusalem at the temple, which God ordained. He said, no, we can't have that. How many times you try to tell somebody about salvation, about regeneration? Now, I got my religion. I've been going in for 40 years. I wouldn't leave my church. Oh, beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning that religion is dangerous. Jeroboam's religion was centered on his own personal honor and success. But that's not the religion, I hate to use that word, of the Bible. Matthew Henry once said, "Self is forever the center of every godless religion." Me, myself, and I. You know, people want a religion where they can do their own thing, live like the devil, and then be made to feel good inside. That's man-made religion. It has nothing to do with God. Some people go to church for business reasons. How much Amway can I sell to these people? Or, hey, are you sure you have enough life insurance? I'm an agent. Many people just have their own agenda. Many people use church as a social gathering. Just, you know, to make friends. Oh, but they're there for the wrong reason. Here's a real common opinion about church. Okay, now, what can I get by going to this church? You've heard that so many times. What can I get out of this church? Beloved, whatever happened to how can I serve God through this church? What can I do, Pastor, to serve the Lord? Oh, folks, I'm here to tell you that man-made religion is straight out of the pit of hell. But, beloved, listen. Whatever happened to old-fashioned sacrificial Christianity, where a person surrenders all to the Lord and asks, "What can I do to serve the Lord here? Plug me in, preacher. I want to teach Sunday school. I want to give out gospel tracts. I want to knock on doors. I want to win people to Jesus. What can I do?" Jeroboam's religion was only to serve his own evil purposes. And he did. But that's not all. Something else about man-made religion. It was supposedly for the good of others. Religion said, "Oh, we'll make you better. We'll make you good enough." Listen, folks, look at verse 28. And keep in mind, over and over and over in the Bible, you'll see this statement. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. That's what his religion did. It made them sinful. Look at it. Verse 28. We read, "Whereupon the king, Jeroboam, took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, 'It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem, Israel.'" He said, "You don't have to." I know that the Pentateuch says, you know, we're supposed to worship in the place where God ordained, but you don't really have to do that. You don't really have to be born again. You don't have to be saved. All you got to do is go to the priest. He'll make everything hocus pocus fine. No, he won't. Listen, folks. Jeroboam pretended that it was for their convenience and advantage that these golden gods were set up in Dan and Bethel. He says, "This is for your convenience. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. You can come over here and worship these golden calves and get the same effect." Listen, folks. He's saying this new form of worship is for your good. New Age, for your good. You'll make contact with all kinds of... Yeah, you will. Folks, that's what man-made religion pretends to be. You'll be a better person if you just come to our church and follow our rules. It will make you a good person. It will make you good enough to get in. Because only good people can go to heaven. What? Born again? No, of course you don't have to be saved. You just need to be good. That is the world's philosophy. That is their theology. You just have to be good. That's all. You don't have to be saved. Beloved, listen to me. Jeroboam's religion was one of selfish expediency, not of self-sacrifice. The thought of self-denial was carefully excluded from Jeroboam's religion.
It's for your convenience. It's a feel-good religion. Oh me, oh my. The world is full of this type of theology.
But I see another problem with Jeroboam's man-made religion. It was contrary to the Word of God. Look with me here in verse 28 again. It was completely contrary to God's word. Verse 28, whereupon the king took counsel, made two calves of gold, and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. What? 29, and he set the one in Bethel and the other put he in Dan. First of all, did anybody catch the lie of verse 28? That his entire religion was based upon a lie. Wow! I can think of some religions right now that are completely based upon lies of the devil. And people believe them. And people practice them. Isn't that sad? That they prefer man-made false religion to the Word of God and salvation through Jesus Christ? Wow! That just boggles my mind. Now mark it down, brethren. The common thread of all false religion is that it runs contrary to God's Word. It contradicts God's Word. They have a better idea. They have a better plan than God. Listen, when I got saved 30 years ago, 1986, I had to repent of my religion. I had to repent of my religion. I had to repent of believing in Mary. I had to repent of believing in the Pope. I had to repent of all that I believed and come to Jesus Christ, and I got saved. Wow. Oh, beloved, listen to me. Religion will damn the soul. Man-made religion always teaches some other way of salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work. Always. They have another plan. Now, go to Mark chapter 7. Hold your place in 1 Kings. Mark chapter 7. Look with me at verse 5. Here's what religious people do. These people that Jesus is talking to were the most religious people of his day. Look at it. Verse 5. Then the Pharisees, remember those guys? And scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition? That's another word for religion. of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands. Said Jesus, they're going to go straight to hell because they're eating a tuna fish sandwich without washing their hands. This is how they think. Now look at it. Here in Mark chapter 7, verse 6. He, Jesus, answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you what? Hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips outwardly, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me. Folks, look at the wording in red letters in verse 7. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. 13, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, through your religion, which ye have delivered. Many such like things you do. What is Jesus saying? He's saying that man-made religion is completely contrary to the Word of God. And it makes the Word of God of none effect in that person's life. Because they believe that religious tradition over the commandment of God. How sad! When we've got something straight from heaven to believe in. Not from the sinful heart of man. Oh, folks, listen carefully. They had ceremonialism. They had traditionalism. They had formalism, but they had religion without biblical authority. Anything that I preach from this pulpit, check me out. Anything I'm wrong, you come to me. Because I never ever want to stray from what the Word of God says. Amen? Listen, folks, in Isaiah, go to Isaiah 29. Look at this verse. Isaiah chapter 29. This passage, the Lord will lay it right on the line here concerning false religion, traditions of men and not of God. In Isaiah chapter 29, look with me at verse 11. This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of man, not the word of God. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work amongst this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Now, verse 15, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? That's what religion is. Religion is a complete rejection of the will of God and the word of God for the will of man and the words of men. That's what man-made religion is. Now, and notice there in Isaiah chapter 29, it says they have no delight in God's word. No delight. See, it's not in their heart. Their heart is far from him. Folks, listen to me. America alone has over 6,000 cults and sects, and most of them claim to base their doctrines on the word of God. Christianity Today reported in the April 25th, 94 issue that many fans of Elvis Presley were actually revering the king of rock and roll as a god. They've now constructed three churches called Church of the Risen Elvis. This is straight out of Christianity Today. Three churches called Church of the Risen Elvis. One in Colorado, one in New York, and one in Indiana. Worshippers raised their hands, spelt, and then chanted Presley's name, working themselves into a frenzy, and prayed to the deceased star. They've enshrined a life-size statue of Elvis in their altar, surrounded by candles and flowers. You know what that is? That's man-made religion. That's man-made religion can't save a dead dog. It'll put your soul in hell so quick you won't know what hit you. It is Elvis worship? Really? And he called himself the king? I'll tell you who the king is. Jesus Christ. He's the King of Kings. Amen? Oh, folks, man-made religion goes contrary to the word of God. But something else about this man-made religion. It became a snare, that's a trap, to others. Look at verse 29, back in our text. 1 Kings 12:29. And he set the one, golden calf, in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. Now, time out. He strategically placed the golden calves in the northern kingdom, one on the east side and one on the west side. Well, for you, it's that way. But folks, he did that intentionally so that this half of Israel could go to Dan and this half could go to Bethel. You see what he's doing? Listen, look at verse 30. And this thing, the golden calves, became a what? Sin. Idolatry is sin. For the people went to worship before the one, even under Dan, the furthest outpost. Folks, listen carefully. Jeroboam's false man-made religion quickly became a snare, that is, an entrapment to the people of Israel. Listen now, they became dependent on the religious system that Jeroboam had set up. They believed him. Now, that is exactly what man-made religion tries to do, to make people believe that they need the church to get to heaven. It tries to make the people dependent upon their system of religion. You see that? Now listen, when the little ornamental cross or the prayer book or the beads or anything at all physical becomes more important than what they represent, you've got religion, not salvation. And when you try to witness to a religious person, they will always point to their religion and say, I've got my religion. I've got my way of doing things. I've got my tradition. Folks, we've got to flush that religion down the drain and get saved. Go to Judges chapter 18. Hold your place in 1 Kings again. Look at this. An incredible passage concerning a religious man who lost his religion. Could you imagine if you could lose your religion? How sad. But in Judges chapter 18, that is exactly what happens here. Look at here in Judges chapter 18. Look with me at verse 13. Verse 13. And they passed thence unto Mount Ephraim and came unto the house of Micah. Then answered the five men that went to spy out the country of Laish and said unto their brethren, do you know that there is in these houses an ephod and teraphim and a graven image and a molten image? Now therefore consider what ye have to do. The guy had religion. He didn't have the true worship of the living God, okay? Drop down to verse, they go to the house of Micah, and they salute him. And down to verse 22, watch what happens. And when they were a good way from the house of Micah, the religious guy, the men that were in the houses near to Micah's house were gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. See, what happened is, back up to verse 17, the five men that went to spy out the land came in there and took the graven image. They stole it. Then the ephod and the teraphim and the molten image. And the priest stood in the entering of the gate with 600 men that are pointed with weapons of war. They stole their religion. Are you listening? Drop down to verse 23. Watch this. So they go out after the guys to get their religion back. This is comical, man. 23. And they cried unto the children of Dan. And they turned their faces and said unto Micah, what aileth thee that thou comest with such a company? And he said, ye have taken away my gods, which I made. I'm trying to keep a straight face here. But listen to what he says. You stole my God, the one that I made. Could you imagine if somebody could steal Jesus Christ from you? This is insane. Look at this. Ye have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priest, and ye are gone away. And I need my priest. And what have I more? And what is this that ye say unto me, what aileth thee? What aileth me? You stole my religion. Folks, I don't mean to be facetious, but this is ridiculous. The guy is all upset because they stole his God. They stole his teraphim. They stole his molten image, which he prayed to. Isn't that sad? He said, oh, I can't go to heaven. They stole my gods. Oh, folks, listen carefully. General William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, once said, and I quote, I consider that the chief dangers which will confront the 20th century will be, one, religion without the Holy Spirit. Two, Christianity without the Christ. Three, forgiveness without regeneration. Four, morality without God. Five, doctrine without the Bible. Six, heaven without hell. Without hell. Folks, you know what we got today? Exactly what Booth prophesied. Exactly. We've got man-made religion. There is no hell. Didn't you hear what the Jehovah Witnesses said? There's no hell. You're just annihilated when you die. You don't exist no more. Oh, really? You want to bank your eternal soul on that kind of doctrine? Good luck with that. Folks, it became a snare to others. But something else about his man-made religion. Sixthly, it had no regard for purity. Look with me in our text in 1 Kings chapter 12. Man-made religion never has regard for purity. Look at verse 31. And he, Jeroboam, made an house of high places. And that's idolatry. And made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. Now, folks, this is a great violation here of God's word, because God, through Moses, said, only the tribe of Levi will serve me in my house in the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood. Now, here is the primary characteristic of all man-made religion. There is no value set upon inward holiness of life. See, it's all outward show. It's all pretense. Listen, folks. Outward conformity and meaningless ritualism are enough to meet all of its requirements. You don't have to be sanctified. You don't have to study that Bible. You don't have to walk in the Spirit. You can do your own thing with man-made religion. These people have a form of godliness. They go to church. They carry the Bible. But they deny the power thereof. And now that means they won't allow God's Spirit to work through them.
in their lives, to sanctify their life.
Listen, they prefer their own will and ways over God's will and ways. Beloved, listen carefully. Most people want a religion where they can live the way they want during the week and then go to church for half an hour on Sunday and feel good. That's what most people want, sadly. But that's not Christianity. That is not Christianity. True Christianity demands repentance and obedience and sanctification through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's where God's Spirit comes into you and begins to work in your life and clean up each area of your life. It's a progressive sanctification that takes place. And it's inward, not outward. It's inward in the heart. Listen, folks, in Titus 1:1, don't turn there. Paul said, to the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. The truth is after godliness. 1 Timothy 6:3, listen. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. He's got man-made religion, which has no regard for purity whatsoever. One final thing I want you to see about Jeroboam's false religion, and that is this. It had the appearance of being right. Look with me in verse 32. It had an outward appearance of being right. Verse 32. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. Now, time out, church. Nowhere in the Mosaic sacrificial code was there a feast on the 15th day? He made it up! Folks, this is crazy. And he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel. Now, time out, church. Before I continue reading, notice the wording, what I just read. He did in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. You know what man-made religion always does? It caters to its own dictates. It promotes its own false ideas. Look at it. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. You know, the lowest of the people, the drunkard in the gutter, the guy that was just a wino, just a down and out, just a reprobate, filthy mouth. He'd make him a priest. That's what he did. So he offered upon the altar. He had an altar. He made an altar like unto the altar at Jerusalem, which he had made in Bethel. Notice everything about his religion, he made it up. And the 15th day of the eighth month, don't ask me why, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart. There it is. God says, that's it right there. He made it up. Look it, he ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Can you picture Jeroboam? Here he is coming out with his lowly priest, you know, and they're... And they come up to the altar, and he's got incense burning. He's got incense burning. And verse 32 says, and he offered sacrifice upon the altar. They slay the lamb, you know, and they shed the blood. And then they pour the blood on the golden calves. And here he is, so pious and so religious and so formal, you know. And he's praying to demons in these golden calves. Folks, what am I saying? I'm saying it had the outward appearance of being right. That's what man-made religion has. It has an outward appearance of being right, but it's wrong. It's wrong. Listen carefully. Jeroboam had a temple, just like the one in Jerusalem. He had priests. He had an altar. He had feasts. He had sacrifices. He had incense, burnt offerings. In fact, on the outward appearance, it seemed to be almost right, but it wasn't. And it would ultimately damn the souls of those who partook of that religion. That's exactly how false religion operates. It appears to be the right way, but it's not. Hell and destruction are the final result of all man-made religion. Look in chapter 13. What happened to his religion? Look in chapter 13. And behold, there came a man of God. Here comes a prophet. Here comes a man with the Spirit of God upon him. Out of Judah, by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Type out. You got to get a hold of this scene. Here comes the prophet. God sent him from Jerusalem to preach a message to Jeroboam. And Jeroboam standing by the altar. You know,
He's got the incense burning. My priest got the sacrifice. Oh, man of God, have you come to worship with us today? No! I got a message from God for you. Verse 2, and he cried against the altar. Listen, he's confronting his false religion. He cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord. Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. Oh, what a man of God he was. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord had spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. He said, buddy, I got a message for you from God. Your religion is going down, and your false priests, they're going to burn their bones on this altar. Now, what happened to this man of God's prophecy? Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 23. We want to see what happened to this prophecy. Did it come to pass? In 2 Kings 23, we'll finish up. 2 Kings 23. Look what happens here. And remember what the man of God told Jeroboam. In verse 15. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place, he break down. Who break it down? Josiah. The man Josiah. Look at it. And burned the high place and stamped it small to powder and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchers that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchers and burned them upon the altar and polluted it, according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Then he said, what title is that I see? And the men of the city told him, it is the sepulcher of the man of God, which came from Judah and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. And he said, let him alone. Let no man move his bones. So they let his bones alone, with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. And all the houses also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars, and burned men's bones upon them, and returned to Jerusalem. Folks, what am I saying? I'm saying that the word of God came to pass verbatim. Exactly what the prophet told Jeroboam came to pass 350 years later, because God's word never fails. He said, you've set up a false religion, and God is going to pass divine judgment upon you for it. Now, let me say this in closing. If you or someone you know is in a church that is a man-made religion, a false system, not a church that preaches salvation by grace through faith, tell them to get out quick. Because folks, the time is running out. There's no time for false religion no more. An article in Christianity Today entitled, What Do Americans Believe? What do Americans believe? According to Reuters USA, reports on an opinion survey. Listen, 74% of Americans believe that people who go to church will go to heaven. 62% believe in ESP. That's extrasensory perception. 50% of Americans believe in reincarnation. 50%. 44% believe that all religions lead to heaven. 38% believe there is human life elsewhere in the universe. 25% believe that we have been visited by aliens from outer space. 16% believe in psychic communications with the spirit world. But the question is, what do you believe? What do you believe? Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning that we don't have man-made religion. We have divinely ordained salvation through Jesus Christ. We have regeneration by the Spirit of God. We have the Bible, the Word of God, and we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. How we thank you for that truth this morning, Lord. But our hearts are burdened today. Oh God, there are so many vast multitudes of souls deceived by false religion, by man-made, fabricated worship. Lord, I pray this morning that you would help us to reach the lost with the true salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is called the gospel. Lord, we're so thankful that we don't need religion. We've got something far better. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm so thankful this morning that thou hast preserved these truths for us in the Bible, that we may know the right way. And, oh Lord, it is a straight and narrow way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. But, Lord, we pray for the multitudes who are blinded by Satan this morning. The God of this world hath blinded their minds, lest they believe the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. Lord, we pray for that veil to be lifted. We pray for revival in America. We pray for the true worship of the living God, Jesus Christ, to be restored in our great nation, O God. We pray for a godly president to be elected. We pray that you would bless us, O God, and give us space to repent. We pray that, Lord, you'd use this church to get out the truth of the gospel, that we would reap a harvest, a great harvest of souls in these last days, of souls that need Jesus Christ, O God, that they will find a relationship, not a religion, but a relationship with the Son of God as we have. And we thank you, Lord, for all you're going to do through us in these last days of these last days. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus Christ. The people said, amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. We will have a song of invitation. Let's open up to hymn 84. Oh, boy. We just really, lately, we're sensing the urgency of the day in which we live. The Lord is coming so soon. And hymn 84, we'll sing the first and second for our invitation. I'm so glad that when you meet Jesus, you grow to love him. William Featherstone.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. Thy gracious Redeemer, my Savior, art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. My Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Remain standing for prayer. And just before we pray, we will be here tonight at 6. If you're able to join us, we're going to finish up our study on the place of the dead. But one note I need to announce this morning. Dr. Ruckman is now with the Lord in heaven. He went home Friday to be with the Lord. And as a little 5-year-old girl from Boston said, "Oh, Mommy, how happy will the angels be?" Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the life of Dr. Ruckman. Lord, for the multitudes of souls that he touched. Lord, for the great harvest of souls that he reaped in his preaching. And Lord, we thank you for the preachers that he sent out over these 5 decades, Lord. We thank you so much for the worldwide impact that he had. But especially, Lord, we thank you for his stand upon the Word of God, the King James Bible. And Lord, we're thankful that Doc is with you today, smiling down. And Father, we're thankful that his first words were probably, "Amen, amen, amen." We thank you, dear Lord, for his life. And Father, we thank you this morning for the true salvation that we enjoy through the Son of God. We're so glad, Lord, that our eyes are opened to the truth of the Bible. Lord, we see the fallacy. We see the absolute insufficiency of religion to save the human soul from sin. And we're so glad that we found the truth in Jesus Christ. We love you this morning, Lord, and we ask you to help us to share this truth with the lost and dying world before it's too late. And one last thing, Lord, be with the Tignors in Ecuador. Be with the Tignor family as they minister to the needs of those who are homeless, those who need Jesus Christ, and those who need food and water and shelter. And Lord, we ask you to do a great work in Ecuador. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks.